Hi everyone, today we're reading John chapter 7, verses 14 through 24. About the middle of the feast, Jesus went up into the temple and began teaching. The Jews therefore marveled, saying, "How is it that this man has learning when he has never studied?" So Jesus answered them, "My teaching is not mine, but his who sent me. If anyone's will is to do God's will, he will know whether the teaching is from God or whether I am speaking on my own authority. The one who speaks on his own authority seeks his own glory, but the one who seeks the glory of him who sent him is true, and in him there is no falsehood. Has not Moses given you the law? Yet none of you keeps the law. Why do you seek to kill me?" The crowd answered, "You have a demon. Who is seeking to kill you?" Jesus answered them, "I did one work, and you all marvel at it. Moses gave you circumcision, not that it is from Moses, but from the fathers, and you circumcise a man on the Sabbath. If on the Sabbath a man receives circumcision so that the law of Moses may not be broken, are you angry with me because on the Sabbath I made a man's whole body well? Do not judge by appearances, but judge with right judgment." So here in this passage, Jesus at the temple, right? And he is teaching there, right? And it's in the middle of this feast. And if you remember Friday's passage, we heard doubts from the people about who Jesus is. They're asking, like, is Jesus a good man? Is he leading a rebellion? Who is this guy? Now, in this passage, we see a little bit more of this doubt, or maybe confusion about who Jesus is. And Jesus here is teaching, and then in verse 15, people are marveling, saying, like, how is it that this man, like, has learning but has never studied? Like, how is he teaching so well, but he never studied, right? And so I think part of this is that they're amazed, right? It's like that Jesus can teach like this when he didn't get an education, right? He didn't have a degree. He didn't study under like the rabbis. He's just a guy in a sense. But part of the implication here at the same time is he's just some guy. He's uneducated. Like, why are we listening to him? How are we listening to this guy? There's an issue here of authority. In a sense, if you remember a couple of weeks ago, we talked about these words witness and testimony, like in a courtroom setting. And in a sense, in this chapter, the whole of this chapter 7, Jesus is on trial because people want him to prove his authority and his power because they're confused. They don't understand who he is. And Jesus, in this passage, he tells them, if you want to know my authority and my power, like my teaching, you have to be doing God's will. If you're doing God's will, then you will understand that my teaching, my authority, my power, all that stuff, it comes from God himself. This is what Jesus is teaching them here in this passage. And what Jesus is, in a sense, saying is, he's like, don't be impressed by me, right? It's not about me here, but be impressed by God's power, by God's authority, right? That's what he's saying. And Jesus, he didn't come, right? He didn't come to the earth as a man to be like exalted by the praises of man here, but he came for God to get the glory. Like, that's why he came. And that's what he's pointing out here. It's like I'm here because my teaching is from God. My witness, my testimony is from God himself. It's what Jesus is doing points to the Father. And here in this passage, Jesus rebukes them in a sense, right? And it's, well, he's rebuking them because he's saying, like, he's accusing them of not living for God's will, right? And because that's exactly what, like, is happening here. He's pointing out of the Jews, especially the ones in power, like the Sanhedrin and the Pharisees, you're not in God's will. And he says in verse 19, has not Moses given you the law, yet none of you keeps the law? That's a bold accusation from Jesus, because for many of those Jews, they were keeping the law, right? They're doing that hard work of doing all that stuff, but Jesus has proof. He's saying, Moses gave you this law and you're not even keeping it. And his proof is that Jesus says in verse 21, I did one work and you all marvel at it. Now that one work, what he's referring to here is a few chapters ago where he healed the crippled man by the pool, right? That was on the Sabbath, and that was a source of controversy among the Jews and the leaders. And so to really understand this passage, what Jesus is saying here, he's speaking pretty logically. So Moses gave you this law, right? Moses gave you this idea of circumcision, or really the law gave you this ritual of circumcision, and you do that on the Sabbath. And again, pointing back to that miracle when Jesus healed that man, and Jesus says, is basically saying, yet when I healed that man on the Sabbath, I made him well. You're like freaking out and like angry about it. A reminder here, circumcision was a sacred ritual, right? It was a sacred and important ritual for the Jewish faith from the Old Testament, but it's literally destroying flesh, right? It's something that's destructive, right? It's cutting off a piece of flesh. And Jesus is saying, I did the opposite of that on the Sabbath. I brought healing. I brought like wholeness and wellness to a man. And you got all angry about that. You're all up in arms about that. And that's Jesus' proof, saying you're not living in the will of God. Moses gave you this law and you're not like, you don't like actually follow it. And how does he mean that? I think this is where verse 24 is really appropriate. Jesus says, do not judge by appearances, but judge with right judgment. And Jesus says this because they were living by or judging by appearances in that circumstance, in this example Jesus gives of healing and circumcision. Because what the Jews were doing, especially those in power, is that they were caring more about like the rituals and the rules and the laws more than the lawgiver, right? They're like freaking out on people because they're doing stuff on the Sabbath while not actually caring for people, right? They're not actually desiring to care for people and especially not caring about God. They were not in God's will. It's kind of a roundabout thing, so hopefully you can track with me here. But they're more concerned about following some rules than they were about being in the will of God and knowing his heart. And so when Jesus says here, to bring it back to him, when he says, do not judge by appearances, I don't think he's saying about himself, just like, hey, don't judge a book by its cover. I don't think that's his point here. More so he's saying is don't look at me, as in Jesus, by my appearances, by my teaching, or by my miracles even, but look at me, judge me, see me, evaluate me correctly, and see that I'm doing God's will. And if you look at me and see me with like that, then you'll actually see, what we will see is that we'll see God himself. Like Jesus is God. That's what they should be seeing at this point in time. How do we take this passage for ourselves? You know, when we see Pharisees in the Bible, right, it's easy to knock on them, but really we have to be careful that we're not in that same boat, right? Because it's not so much Pharisaical, like in like trying to follow rules, right? Or even just judging people, although that's part of it. That's a huge part of it. I think it's a warning to actually live for God's will and not for appearances, not for the praises of man, not so that we can be exalted and lifted up by people, but we should be careful to live for God, that our lives are in God's will, that we're striving to live for God's will. This is what we should be striving to live for. The Pharisees, the Jews, they were caught up in appearances. They're caught up in being seen as holy and doing the rituals because they're tangible, right? These are things that you're like, I'm better at teaching. I'm better at doing this and this. I'm good at this. You're living by appearances is a way to prove yourself to be better than other people in many ways. And that's not in line with God's will. But if we're in God's will, if we're doing God's will, we'll see that Jesus is good, that Jesus is God, and it doesn't matter so much how good or great we are. It's that Jesus is good and great in us and through us. That's what it means to live for God's will. So as we close, let's pray that we won't be like these people who are doubting, but we'll be people who live in the will of God, but and judge and see with right judgment through the eyes of God, living for Jesus. So let's pray. Jesus, we thank you that you came so that we could live with right judgment, that we could see with open eyes and open hearts. Lord, we confess that it's easy for us to live by appearances, to judge by appearances. Forgive us for that, Lord. You came that we could be set free from that. So we pray for freedom of our hearts, and we pray that we can see and know you and be in your will, Jesus. Bless us, God. Help us to live for you. In your name we pray. Amen.